Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Yes, David, you're right. We can all agree on Billy Joel. Everyone loves Billy Joel. So thanks for hanging out with us today, Paul and Jordana. Whew, just did an hour on abortion. And if you want to hear both sides of that and them explained and no yelling involved, just thoughtful questions and thoughtful answers, use the Odyssey app and the Rewind feature, and you can hear all of that. The president of Planned Parenthood locally, as well as a doctor and a professor at a local university talking about the other side. I don't like using the word pro-life because I think everybody's pro-life. So I think it's just anti-abortion. Ah, but
everybody's pro-life, you know. Sure.
Wait, everybody, I'm writing this down.
Everybody appreciates
Stop
life.
Stop it, you everybody two. That was last hour. Stop it and move on.
Turn the page, move forward.
All right, but yeah, moving
we
on.
Had a civil conversation and we'll keep it going
as best we can.
We did. Joining us now is Mark Fry. Mark is coming in from the newsroom. Hi, Mark. We can see you here on our video stream that we have among the three of us. And you're covering the story that the Special Olympics is going to be in Minnesota. That's a big win.
Yeah, 2026. What a special announcement today. You could just feel the energy. They announced it inside Huntington Bank Stadium, the home of the Golden Gopher football team. And there was just an energy. I think people were just happy to be back in a room together as reporters that we haven't been in person press conferences for a long time. So they're slowly coming back. But what an announcement for the state, for the city, and for these athletes here in Minnesota in the Special Olympics. It's just it's a good thing to be celebrating, and we got 4 years to look forward to it being here.
Mark, I don't mean to ambush you, but I will. When have we ever hosted Special Olympics before in the Twin Cities?
So the original first Special Olympics, I believe, was held in 2006 down in beautiful Ames, Iowa. So it got close to us back in 1991. The Twin Cities hosted the International Special Olympics, and that drew around 130,000 fans. And in 2026, they're expecting around 115,000 fans and, 4,000 athletes, 10,000 volunteers, 1,500 coaches. So 115,000 people altogether. So it'll be a big impact here for the Twin Cities and just the state as the Golden Gophers and everyone, they use the venues there for their events. So it's just going to be a great atmosphere, great event.
And a big boon economically, as you mentioned, there's going to be a big impact. Are there any thoughts to safety and security protocols, not only because we've had trouble in downtown, but also via COVID?
Right. And that was one of the things I think people were asking about the Women's Final Four. And I think the success of the Women's Final Four has really compelled a lot of places to look at the Twin Cities as a destination. And that's going to be the thing over the next couple of years. I mean, this is still 4 years out and a lot can change within the next week when it comes to security here. But they did not mention any sort of concerns about what this could mean for security, just because I think there is such a long time between now and 2026 that who knows what it's going to look like tomorrow.
Sure.
And again, Mark, just to be clear, the venue, it's the U of M?
Yeah, so the U of M is considered the host for this. So that means they're going to be able to use the housing, the dining, the medical facilities, and all the venues where the athletes will compete. And then they will host different events and games throughout Twin Cities venues. They didn't announce today what other venues are going to be using because I think contracts and stuff are still being worked out. But I was talking to some of the Special Olympic athletes, and they were just so excited about being able to come and compete in their home state. A lot are going down to the Special Olympic USA Games in Orlando here at the start of June. And I think, obviously, the warmer destination, Orlando, probably pretty fun. But why not compete in front of your family and friends here in Minnesota? I mean, it was so cool to hear how excited they were.
Very cool. Very cool.
Mark Fry. Well, it is very exciting and certainly something to look forward to. So we're happy to report on good news, positive things in Minnesota. So
right.
Thank you, Mark.
Exactly. No problem.
Happy Friday. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
Hey, Jor, I know you have an electric vehicle. I have an electric vehicle. I still have a gas-powered vehicle. I love all my vehicles, but I think the world is gradually, slowly going electric for a number of good reasons. Some people bring up thoughtful questions about environmental impact when it comes to producing electric vehicles, specifically the batteries. How environmentally friendly are they from moment of production all the way through the life cycle of an electric vehicle versus a gas-powered vehicle? A lot of our listeners had questions, and I wanted to track down the expert who could answer those questions. When we come back, Brendan Jordan, he's VP Transportation at Great Plains Institute, and he's going to tell us all about EVs when we come back on CCO. Paul and Jordana and DJ on Friday. Hope your Friday is going well. Hope you can sneak outside or camp outside. It is weather perfection out there right now.
The
Twin Cities Auto Show coming up on May 14th. It runs from the 14th to the 22nd at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds. There will be at least 17 different EVs out there, including the Ford Lightning, the F-150, the electric version. And you can drive most of these EVs and just get a feel for what it's like. People are skeptical, and I get that when it comes to electric vehicles. And I say, look, suspend your disbelief. Before you hate on EVs, drive one, because it may change how you feel about electric vehicles. Joining us now is Brendan Jordan. He's joining us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. He is VP Transportation of Fuels at Great Plains Institute and also involved with Drive Electric MN. Brendan, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Paul.
Absolutely. And look, I know you're high on EVs, too. The number one source of greenhouse gases is transportation sector. So electrifying planes, trains, automobiles, buses, that's a big part of getting us to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions. And I found that interesting. More methane, more CO2 emitted through transportation. A lot of that is commuting than generating electricity or even agriculture. So I'm just curious what you think specifically about the environmental impact. One of our listeners said, Paul, I'm curious if you've compared the worldwide environmental impact of the production and use of EVs versus gas-powered vehicles. This comes up a lot, about the batteries and what goes into the batteries and are they recyclable? How do you answer that question, Brendan?
Well, Paul, there's pretty clear answers here when it comes to the relative greenhouse gas impact of electric vehicles versus gasoline or diesel vehicles. Great Plains Institute has done some research looking at this issue specific to Minnesota, because, of course, it matters how you produce the electricity. So we looked at the average grid impact in Minnesota of charging an EV. And we looked at specific utilities like Xcel. So for most customers in the Twin Cities, that's your utility. And we found that in the Xcel service territory, an EV is going to do about 65% better than a gasoline vehicle. In the rest of the state, it's about 53% better. And you can do much better if you want to buy electricity from a renewable electricity program like Windsource. Or, of course, people have the opportunity to integrate solar EV charging by putting on rooftop solar. So it is clearly better, and it's getting better all the time. Paul, you mentioned that transportation is now the largest source. It didn't used to be. Electricity used to be the largest source, but the electric grid is getting cleaner and cleaner year after year. In Minnesota, Xcel is committed to being totally decarbonized by 2050. So EVs are cleaner and getting cleaner all the time.
Okay.
Hey, Brendan, it's Jordana. Thank you for joining us. I'm curious to know, I have an electric vehicle, but I also have a gas-powered one. We are always worried about driving the electric vehicle, and that's the only vehicle my husband and I share, the other one's for the kids, down to Rochester because it's 90 miles. I only get 170 on mine's a very old old electric vehicle. So I only get 170,000 miles or 180,000. We get nervous. And then I remember when we were down there, Mark was like panicked. You know, we had 20 miles left and some of the electric chargers didn't work. So he was running all over Rochester, kind of like panicking. When do you think we'll see greater infrastructure with this grid of superchargers and where you can charge?
Jordana, that's a great question and a totally fair question, and it's a big area for improvement. There are some improvements ahead. I think Minnesota's done a very good job of making some key investments. We have the opportunity to invest in some charging stations with some funding from a lawsuit, the Volkswagen pollution lawsuit. So that was really how we got started, but there's a lot of money coming down to us through the federal infrastructure bill, IIJA program. We're going to be receiving $68 million. We have the opportunity, if the legislature would act, to add, you know, additional 20% for the required non-federal match, that would make that funding go even further. And really what the goal with that program is to create, instead of having one plug at a station, they'd be faster and they'd have at least four plugs. So if there's a problem with one of the plugs, there's three other options. You don't have to wait in line if somebody's already using it. And so that's really going to improve our network. It's going to take a few years to build it out, but I think there are some improvements ahead.
Hey, Brandon, I'm curious to get your take on this. My understanding of history is that people change their mind if they can get more performance for less money. It's like a light bulb goes off. It's like, why wouldn't I do that? There's still this perception, and I'm curious if it's a reality, that greater Minnesota, people who live well away from the metro, they kind, you know, many of them still are not sure that they can make this work with electric vehicles because of the paucity, you know, the lack of charging stations as you get farther away from the Twin Cities metro. You just talked about that. Just curious, is the legislature on the right track with some of this additional money that's coming in? What else needs to happen where we have as many charging stations as we do gas stations?
Well, first of all, I'll just give a lot of credit to our partners at the rural electric co-ops who are really doing a lot of great work to help support their customers that are interested in this technology. I don't think there's any reason people in rural areas can't use EVs. I mean, if you look at the average miles driven per day, it's more like 40 instead of 30 for the metro area. So it's really not a lot more. You know, the other thing is that most charging happens at home. And so, you know, people in rural areas still have garages and they, just like people in the city, they can do most of their charging at home and benefit from really cheap electric rates. I mean, we're talking about rates that would give you the equivalent of 50 cents to a dollar a gallon for electricity, equivalent to gasoline. Wow. And I think these corridor networks we're building out will help a lot, too, to make that feasible.
I did the calculations. I'm spending about a third as much per mile getting around, and I have 300 miles of range. And even on the really, on the coldest days of winter, when it's 0-10 below, the battery degrades by about 10 or 15%. I have a little bit less range in the winter, and you just plan for that. But it does force you to kind of figure out, all right, tomorrow, how many miles do I have to drive? Do I need to charge it all the way up, or do I keep it kind of in the middle of the bell curve for battery health? But the last question I have, with gas so expensive now, I think a lot of people are doing the math, and I couldn't help but notice that the share of EVs doubled in Q1. It went from 2.5% to over 5%. So we still have a long way to go when it comes to electric vehicles, but it seems like more and more Americans are doing the math and trying to figure out if it could work for their household, right?
Absolutely. I think it's the fastest growing segment. And so I think a lot of people are doing that math. And when you see watch the Super Bowl and see a whole bunch of EV ads, that has an impact. So it's entering the public consciousness and people are becoming more aware of what the benefits are.
Okay.
Brendan Jordan, Vice President at Great Plains Institute. We appreciate the education and the positive outlook. I hope this is, you know, all things are coming down the pipe that you're saying, and it does get easier to be an electric vehicle owner.
Yeah.
Well, happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
See you at the auto show.
I will tell you when Mark.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Is visiting his grandbaby in New York, and I get to drive our car. We share this electric vehicle. It is powerful. It is,
yeah.
It's nice when you have to pass a truck on the highway because you just give it a little bit and it is zoomy.
Instant torque. Yep.
Yeah.
Instant torque. I know.
It's a lot of power, so it's fun.
I know.
When we get back, today's terrible trivia, it's Mother's Day on Sunday. I'm warning you, get the card today. David is going to quiz us next. I'm feeling a lot of pressure. I'm the only mother in the group, so I'm supposed to know the answers, right?
Yes, you better know all the answers. It would be weird if I won this. That would be really troubling.
Yeah.
It's a Mother's Day quiz. Yeah. David wrote it, but I'm feeling a lot of pressure.
Do I have to bring it so that you win, Jordana, or do we just see what happens?
I mean, it is Mother's Day.
I know, but...
I will let you win, Jor. I will let you win. Okay.
Mother's Day present.
I think you have to go. I think you have to go first if it's Mother's Day and you're the mother.
Okay, right? Sounds good. Yes.
Yes, you do.
All right. Six multiple
choice. Do I get extra points
questions
for having a uterus?
No.
No.
No. Sorry. Life's not fair. Okay. Multiple choice questions. Jordana, you go first. Mother's Day is a leading holiday in what way? Most cards given? Or B, most calls made, or C, most mimosas drinking.
Oh, wow. I'm going to go with all three for me, but that's nice to have a mimosa. It really is. I'm going to say most cards. Wait a minute. Because, no, people send Christmas cards, but they're probably cards that they make. David, does it matter if they make them or they buy them? Am I getting too wonky with the question?
Yeah, you're reading too much. I'm reading too much into it.
Okay. Yeah. I'm still going to go with it. I'm still going to say most cards.
The correct answer is actually most calls made. Reportedly, there are approximately 122 million calls made on the second Sunday of every year.
Well, wow. I guess you
everybody
have to
calls
call
mom, right?
You have to send a card. Yeah.
That's how it works.
Lazy kids don't send the card. I hope you guys already sent your cards.
Wait. Yeah,
or bought them.
Is it bad form to text your mom? That's probably
yes. Yes, it
not
is.
Good. Okay.
I mean,
it's better than an email.
Unless the text is, I'm on my way over with flowers.
There you go.
Here's
Did you
what
get
I got
the flowers
you
I sent?
Bringing.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's talk a little bit about the history of Mother's Day. The history of Mother's Day can be traced back to who?
Hallmark?
A. Ann Jarvis. B.
What?
Florence Nightingale. Or C. Eleanor Roosevelt.
I actually know this one.
Oh, man. You really? I'm surprised. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm an Eleanor Roosevelt fan, so it's probably wrong, but I'll go with Eleanor.
No, it's Ann.
It is Ann Jarvis. Mm-hmm. During and following the Civil War, Ann Jarvis tried to build friendship and community between mothers of both sides of the war. How fun is that?
Wow.
And she started
the Civil War.
She started a committee. Huh. In 1868, which established the first glimmer of today's holiday we now celebrate as Mother's Day.
Wow.
And then she got really mad. By the end of her life, she became very angry that Mother's Day was becoming so commercialized and fought against it, said we shouldn't do it anymore because it was becoming too commercial.
I thought it was Hallmark.
That's correct.
I'm being serious. I thought Hallmark decreed this holiday. Yeah.
I think they invented Valentine's. Well, no, that's St. Valentine. I don't know.
They invented all right.
Anyway. All right, I get another shot because I'm still losing. Well, we're both losing.
Yeah, you're both just
we're
losing.
We're tied. Yeah. We both suck. Yeah.
Jordana, Mother's Day became an official U.S. holiday in what year? 1885 or 1914 or 1922? Whew.
Well, I'm going to say 1885 because you said it started during the Civil War. I know maybe it became official a whole lot later, but I'm going to say 1885.
Oh, George.
Oh, I'm sorry. In my last, to be fair, in my last question, I did say she established in the 1800s a committee with a glimmer of today's holiday. It didn't become a national holiday until Woodrow Wilson signed Mother's Day into law in 1914.
1914.
You guys are terrible at this.
Wilson.
Hey, you're only off by 40 years. It's fine.
Damn
it's
those
close.
Prior presidents. They obviously didn't love their mothers.
Paul.
Yes.
The most popular Mother's Day gift is jewelry, chocolate, or flowers. The most popular Mother's Day gift.
I think it has to be between flowers and chocolate. And, man, I think if it's your sweetheart, your significant other, your wife, your girlfriend, I would think, well, yeah, even then. I'm going to go with flowers.
Yes! Flowers is correct. Get this, approximately one quarter, a fourth of all flowers purchased throughout the year are bought for Mother's Day.
A quarter.
Wow.
A quarter.
Whoa.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Holy cow. Okay, I believe
that.
Can
I just brag a little bit?
Sure.
I did get a delivery today, and it's from my oldest.
Oh,
Marley sent me flowers from... Wasn't that sweet? I said she shouldn't have wasted her money, but it was really sweet.
Yes, she should
have. She sent me flowers, and she sent me sunflowers, because those are my favorite, and they make me so happy to look at. So she sent me sunflowers.
Sunflowers.
Very
cool.
Kansas of you. Good job.
Oh, really?
Okay. Who are we back to now? Jordana?
Well, me, and I'm
trying to catch up on Mother's Day.
Jordana, what is the average age of a first-time mother in the U.S.? What's the average age of a first-time mother?
Oh, boy.
20,
oh, man.
23, 26, or 29? I love stumping you guys.
26.
That's correct, and it's up.
26.
26 is correct. It was 24 back in 2000, so in the last couple decades, it's gone up 2 years.
People are waiting longer. Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I had my first kid at 31.
Wow.
Really?
Paul, when did you... Oh, you're not a mother, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
No, I was...
When did your wife have her, or if you're allowed to say the math on that?
She was 24 and I was 26.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about you, David? When did you and Katrina? How old was Katrina?
It's a great question. That's
easy
math,
my friend.
We were both 31, I believe.
Yeah. There you go. See? Yeah. 31.
Yep. Mm-hmm. She was 30. She turned 31 the day after our firstborn.
Because
they have birthdays
and
they apart from each other anyway.
I was 29 and Lori was 27. I'm sorry. I was off. It's math. Yeah. It's math, Jor. I should have asked Jor to do the math.
Slide rule broken over there, Paul?
Yeah. I needed a new slide rule.
Okay, one more, Paul. You can win it with this. Mother's Day is celebrated all over the world in all sorts of unique celebrations and ways. Different cultures, different countries celebrate Mother's Day differently. Which of these is an actual description of a Mother's Day celebration throughout the world? A, in India, people celebrate a festival that pays homage to the goddess of mothers, Durga, in a 10-day festival that features a statue of a woman with 8 arms. Or, in the Netherlands, they celebrate moms each August with a cheese festival where mothers compete for the best wheels of cheese. Or C.
Oh, what? Boy. Oh, boy.
I love stumping you. C. In Spain, fathers are expected to take care of their kids all day on Mother's Day so that mothers can do whatever they want.
That's a real Mother's Day.
And only one of those is right?
Only one of those is right. I made up the other two.
I'm going to go with B. I'm going to go with B.
No, you went with the cheese?
Can I change my answer?
The cheese?
I went with the cheese because I'm kind of in the mood for some cheese right
now. No, the real answer is the one in India where they celebrate
Durga, of course.
The eight arms? Durga.
The other one, the Spain one is actually what my tradition is at our house on Mother's Day.
Amen.
I just take the kids and Katrina gets mystery Katrina time. No one knows where she goes or what she does, but she gets a day to herself.
Wow.
Yep. My ex-husband still asks me, do you want them or do you not want them?
Yes,
exactly. You know?
Yes, amen.
I want them. Don't worry. They're coming. They're coming.
All right.
That was fun. Thank you, David. And happy Mother's Day to all.
No, yes. Happy Mother's Day to you, Jordana.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you. It will be. All right. Mank Max talking sports next on CCO.
Maxie's Sports brought to you by the John Schuster Group, Coldwell Banker Real Estate.
Yes,
Mike
it is.
Max at Target Field with some breaking Twins news, some good news about Carlos Correa's finger, right?
Yeah. Carlos Correa's scheduled to meet us here in the media shortly, but the good news is it's not fractured, and so they're going to call it day by day. He won't play tonight. He probably won't play, you know, I would imagine the next couple days, but they were worried that it was fractured. The CT scan came back and said it was not, and so therefore he can resume activities as soon as he feels up to speed. Royce Lewis will make his debut here. Royce is a talented shortstop that they drafted a few years ago, and everybody's been waiting for his debut ever since. 2 years ago with COVID, he played the inter-squad series over in St. Paul, and then last year he missed the entire season with an ACL. He's been playing for the St. Paul Saints, playing well so far this year, so he'll make his debut tonight. Rocco Baldelli, Luis Arraez, Dylan Bundy on the COVID list. So they're not here. No other players as of today have tested positive for COVID. One other non-uniform member of the organization did, so they will not be here. Derek Falvey, the general manager of the Minnesota Twins, has tested positive for COVID as well. Not that they need his bat in the lineup, but he just press conference with us via Zoom from his home. So I think that's the latest on the COVID report and the Carlos Correa report, but all of a sudden there's just a whole lot of news coming out of here right now. I'm standing right outside the dugout as we await both Carlos Correa and to see Royce Lewis in a major league uniform out here.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. That is a lot of news and interesting
that's a lot
stuff.
Of news.
Interesting
stuff. Yeah, and they play. Oh, by the way, they play the Oakland A's tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks.
Minor
that
detail.
Too. That,
yeah.
That's yeah. It. So you're outside the dugout. I mean, it's an unbelievably beautiful day for baseball.
Oh.
You seeing anybody? What's the vibe? Are people coming early?
Byron Buxton just walked by me. He gave me a nod. You know, so I'm that close to the action right here. Now, the pitchers are out here warming up right now. And then the rest of them will be out here shortly. So they didn't take batting practice today. Normally this would be a time when we sit around the cage and watch guys take swings and then visit with them. But because the extended the road trip ended with a night game last night, they gave them batting practice off. They shut down the clubhouse, just you know, COVID concerns, and they are on the side of caution. And so we're just sitting here and waiting, and we'll see what happens.
Hey, Maxie, game three, as you know, the playoff, the Wild versus the Blues. What has to happen for the Wild to keep this going?
The Wild are playing the St. Louis Blues in game three. And that should be, this could be interesting because if they win one out of two here, easier said than done, they'd come back home with home ice. But there's no guarantee that, you know, St. Louis is a really good team, and they don't make many mistakes. And so when you watch the St. Louis Blues, you're watching a team that just knows how to get it done. And it's going to be interesting to see if the Wild can shake that psyche at all tonight. Now, the Blues are a little bit banged up, including Nick Leddy, who's an Eden Prairie native and former Gopher, who's won a cup in his past in Chicago, didn't play the other night, so we don't know what his status is. But Leddy is kind of a key to that team because in terms of depth of defensemen. So they do have a couple of things that you got to study with the Blues to see who's healthy tonight.
Okay.
Maxie, are you all set for Mother's Day? Do you have your cards? Do you have your gifts?
I'm all set, man. Yep, all good. You know, the standard stuff, lots of chocolate in case there's any left over. You know the deal.
I get it.
The gift of cash.
Yeah.
Cash goes a long way, Maxie.
Yes, cash goes a long way.
I know you want to get back to the twins, but it is Friday, so what is making you happy today, Maxie?
Well, I just saw Royce Lewis pop out here, so it's kind of fun to see him. The weather, though, I mean, come on. I tried to be in a bad mood today, and I couldn't. You know what I'm saying? That's how nice the weather is. I tried to be angry and cantankerous, and I couldn't. I couldn't help but be happy and grateful because of the weather. So I'm going to start with the weather and the fact that I'm out here covering a Twins game anytime. And I did a radio show this morning, and I get to do the 6-10 and the 5 tonight. Let us never forget to be grateful, right?
Amen.
Hardest working
You're
man
right.
in showbiz. Thanks, Maxie.
You're
you
welcome
bet. Have
about
a good
the
weekend,
weather,
guys.
Mike.
Happy Mother's Day, Jor.
Thanks, love.
Yeah.
Thanks, love. And I want everybody to think about that. We're doing the happy hour. We're taking live calls. I'll open up the text line, 651-461-9226. You can start sending us your texts for happy hour now, 651-461-9226. So start that now, and we'll be reading them at 5:50.
And when we come back, I need some help. That's a loaded statement. I need lots of help, but... Why are birds crashing into our windows? I am living angry birds at my house, and I don't know why. Please help. That's coming up next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.